Need that long, so don't worry, get too fretful. I'll have you back home by the time Daytona's flag falls. When is that? When is that? Huh? Oh, yeah, right. Oh, man. Psalm chapter 5. Notice in verse 11, Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee, what's that next word? You know why? Why would that be? Well, if you trust in the Lord, you know He's all got everything under control, so if you rejoice. Amen? Now, it's easy to rejoice when everything's running smooth and you got plenty of money to pay your bills and nobody's bothering you and everything's just clicking right along. But it's a little hard when you don't know where that money's coming in to pay that next bill and everybody seems to be against you and everything's going wrong. And you don't know what's happening, people talking about you, that's a little different story. But nevertheless, if you trust in the Lord, you'll rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Now, verse 12 is my text. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Notice in 35, Psalms 30, verse 5. In Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now we are living in what is called nighttime. And yet we are of the day. One of these days, it's going to be morning time. And the sun, S-U-N, and Malachi, he's called the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings. And I'm looking for that sunrise. I'm looking for that day when the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Whenever the battle's raging, it's a comfort to me to know that it's the will of God. He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. This world is not my home. My home is in glory. Glory is a position. It's a state of being. And someday I'm going to see the Lord that died for me. That's a comfort to me. Now I want to talk to you about God's favor. Now the word we find, he says that in his favor is life. And back in our text, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Now, the righteous would be in Christ. You're not righteous if you're not in Christ. You say, well, I don't do no bad things. If you're not in Christ, you're ungodly. You might go to church. You might pay your tithes. You might have been washed, sprinkled, emerged, baptized. You might have do all the right things. You might give to the United Way. You don't never walk on the grass. You never kick the cat. You never do anything that people say is bad. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't play cards. You don't go to the movies. You don't do anything that people would say that's bad. And yet you're ungodly if you're not in Christ. People are not righteous by what they do or don't do. You're righteous if you're in Christ. And those that are in Christ, God will bless. Now look at this. And with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now what is favor? It's grace. The word grace means favor. Unmerited favor. It means goodwill. Kindness, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. Turn to Titus. In Titus. I'll tell you what, before you get there, go to Proverbs and look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And then we'll go to Titus, and I want to give you, and Titus is going to give you the definition, God's definition of grace. In Proverbs chapter 3, my son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's something, boy, you ought to study on that verse. What this Bible will do for you. Come down to verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Come over to chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Notice in verse 35. A reference to wisdom, and only wisdom, the wisdom of God's wrapped up in a book, folks. I mean, God don't just take the top of your head off and pour wisdom in there and then turn it back up, put it, sew it back on. Where's the wisdom of God? He's talking about wisdom. He said in verse 1, chapter 8, doeth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places. And this whole chapter is about wisdom. Now look in verse 35. For whosoever findeth me, findeth life. You know what wisdom is? You know the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you know what somebody that finds wisdom, how do you find in salvation, folks? You see yourself lost. You see yourself going to hell. You're afraid of God. You're fearful that you're going to die and end up in the lake of fire, and you trust Christ as your Savior. That's wisdom. If you're not saved, you're a dummy. Amen? This world is crazy. This world is, they're a bunch of fools. Only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And people walk around with religion and everything. They're not wisdom. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God thinks this world is a bunch of foolishness. People talk about it. But look in verse 8. 35. Whosoever findeth me, worthy, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Grace. Look in Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, you want a definition of grace? We say it's unmerited favor, it's kindness, it's love. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He what? Saved us. It's not by works of righteousness. It's after the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. Well, when did it appear? Didn't appear in that baby in the manger. When did that appear? When did the Lord appear with kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared? I'll tell you when it appeared. It appeared on that cross. By the cross. Look back in Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And folks, He's talking about, listen, verse 7, and He came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through Him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It's by the cross. And that message was given to the Apostle Paul when God's Son appeared to him on the road to Damascus. If God hadn't never saved Saul and give him the message of the cross, there wouldn't have been no hope for you in this building. The dispensation of grace. Unmerited favor. Now let me say this, there's always been grace from the Lord, but only one dispensation of grace. Now there's been grace in every dispensation. In Genesis chapter 6, you find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:8. You find in Exodus chapter 33 and 12 through 17, Moses and Israel found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God told Moses, because you have found grace in my eyes, they found grace. But there's a man in Numbers chapter 15 that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, and they went out and stoned him for breaking the law. He never found that grace. In Noah's day, the multitudes of the world, God never showed them no grace. You know what happened to them? They drowned. Just think about this thing. People say, well, everybody's been saved by grace. That's a bunch of... that's hogwash. God has not been saving all men by grace through faith in this Bible. They had to do something. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but if he hadn't have built the ark, he would have drowned him. Now, he could have said, well, God has given me a message, and there's a flood coming, and I believe God. Lord, what did he tell you? He said, well, build a boat, but I think the Lord's going to send me one. Are you not going to build the ark like he said? No, he just told me how to do it. But you know, I'm going to trust God that he's going to do it for me. What would have happened? While the bubbles is floating out of his mouth believing he's in the Lord, he would have drowned. What about Israel and Moses back there? They give them the law. And that law condemned them to death, so they had to offer sacrifices when they broke that law. Now suppose, well, we've got grace, we're under grace. I don't believe I'm going to do this today. Well, you bet, hey, that's sin. You got to sacrifice for that. You got to put offer an offering. No, I believe the Lord's going to take care of me. He said, I found grace in his eyes. What do you reckon would happen? God kill them. You know, Aaron's two, Abiathar and Aaron's son, offered strange fire to the Lord. What did the Lord do to them? He killed them. I mean, hey, grace is to me. Old David, the king of Israel, man after God's own heart, the Ark of the Covenant was up there in the man's house, and he said, look, we're going to set up a tent for it. We're going up there to get him. So they going up through there, and there's a man named Uzzah. And so the ox was pulling the cart, and they're running along. And old David, and they're playing, and they're shouting, and they're carrying on, and they're hooping and hollering, and all going on. Praise the Lord, we got the ark, and all of a sudden, the ox stumbled a little bit, and it shook the cart, and Uzzah, and the ark's shaking, and Uzzah just put his hand on the ark to steady it. You know what God did to him? He killed him. Oh, Uzzah was just trying to help the Lord out a little bit. That ain't grace, folks. It's one thing for men, God, to show favor in the other dispensation, but it's quite another thing to live and be in the dispensation of grace. Do you realize today that God is showing all men grace today, not just a few certain ones? This is the dispensation of grace. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. The dispensation of God is like the economy. It's like the administration. The administration of grace. Now, we've just changed the ministrations. Now, I don't know what kind of ministration we got now, but we got a different ministration. The point is, it has to do with the ruling. It has to do with what's being dispensed out. God today is dispensing out. He's ministrating in the economy is of grace. In other words, all men could come to God. God would have all men to be saved. God, it's not God's will today for any to perish. God's will for you is for you to trust His Son and Him to give you eternal life. Grace. Look with me in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy about this grace. 1 Timothy, you'll find in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I'm chief. Roy quoted it. Grace. Unmerited favor. God showing grace to you. Do you realize God is showing grace to you right now and favor to you right now in allowing you to hear the gospel of Christ so you could trust it and be saved? Say, well, I believe I'll do this to get saved. Do what you want. Not going to work. What do you believe in? What are you trusting in? And I've said it 100 times, even atheists are trusting in they're trusting that there's no God. They're going to be in a world of trouble. What's your faith in? God's grace. We stand in this grace. It's a grace that can be saved. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Everybody here is saved by this favor. Look back in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of Father. And you know what that is? I'm over here. I was born over here. My life is in between these two parts. And God's Son went to that cross. My sins was put upon Him. I have sins. Coming from a sin nature that I got from my father and my mother, and that nature produces sins, and it's an enmity against God. And the flesh, the old man, doesn't want anything to do with God. He doesn't want anything to do with salvation. But Jesus Christ went to that cross and became who I am. He became sin on that cross. He lost His identity on that cross. He took your identity, and the death He died was your death, and He paid for your sins. And your sins is not your problem today. It's your unbelief. Reason why people go to hell is because of their unbelief. My sins was here, so I one day in my life in 1971, I was 19 years of age in a hotel room. I came to the end of myself. I said, I can't go on anymore, Father. I can't do this, Lord. I cannot do this. And I got down. I called upon the Lord for salvation. I wanted salvation more than anything in my life. And He saved me that night. And thank God, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus by the cross. Now, I am justified. Do you know how God sees me? Righteous. God sees me in Christ. And Christ is there at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for me. And there He stands up there. And the Lord sees Christ when He sees me, and I stand in that grace. And that grace is, I don't see the righteousness of my Son. I live and walk in that grace. How about you? Now, when did you ever get saved? When did you ever desire to be saved more than anything else in your life? Say, well, I don't know of a time in my life like that. Well, how do you know you are? I mean, how do you know you're saved? If you don't have a testimony, then how do you know that you're saved? We say, well, I don't. Well, why don't you settle it right now? You don't have to wait till we play 15 standards of just as I am. You don't have to wait till I stand up here and beg and pump and prime and pump and prime and pump and pump and pump and try to get you to walk an aisle. Why don't you do it right now where you're sitting? Why don't you say, yes, Lord, I do receive you as my Savior, believing that you died for all of my sins, and I'm trusting that. If I go to hell, I'll go to hell believing that Christ died for me. All you got to do, you do that and you walk out of here in Christ justified, and that grace, that favor is like a shield. God sees us. We stand in that grace. Now look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now it's just quarter till, maybe just a little of that. Let me see, make sure, David, how much time I got? Ooh, my watch is wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I try to let you out before 12. Reason that, Baal worshipers hold a 9 to 12 just about. And old 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah's over there and the Baal worshipers are over there, and they go from 9 o'clock to 12, jumping on the altars and hooping and hollering, cutting themselves, calling on old Baal. Old Elijah's over there and said, cry loud. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on a journey somewhere. And I ain't going to tell you what the Good News for Modern Man says he might be. Check it out. You wouldn't believe it. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do you know that you, look what this is. Verse 9. For I am less... 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. That's everybody's saved testimony. I might not be much in your eyes, but thank God I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't have anything to boast in but the grace of God. And he said, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Why? But I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Do you realize this grace wants to work? You say, well, how can it work? If God's given you grace to do something and you don't do it, then that grace is in vain. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to close with this. You're lost. God's grace, right here. He died for your sins. He was buried. Put him in a tomb. Third day, he arose from that tomb. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. In order to get his son out of that ground, he had to forgive all them sins that put him in that ground. And if there was one sin that was not paid for, that one sin's wage would be death. And Jesus Christ, as us being made sin, stepped off in blind faith, believing that the Father would raise him the third day and give him life, and he did. Your sins is gone. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that's why in Romans chapter 5 you have him talking about reconciliation until you come to about verse 11, and he talks about having received the atonement. You don't receive reconciliation. Reconciliation is done for you whether you receive it or not. You receive the sacrifice, the atonement. Now, have you ever done that? Romans chapter 12, notice in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know that's overrate yourself. A lot of people do that. They think they overrate themselves. They think they're better than what they really are. Most time they think they're better than somebody else that they're around. That's thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But to think soberly, that'd be like, you know, think soberly. You know what sober is? It's the opposite of being drunk. If you're thinking that you're overrating yourself, thinking more highly, you're thinking like you're a drunkard. An old drunk can do anything until he sobers up and gets up and asks, "What did I do?" Anyway, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that every member in the body of Christ has an office to do. You have an office. You have a job. You have a work. You have a ministry. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. We don't have prophecies. Why? There's a commandment in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about prophecies being done away with. Why? Why were they done away? Well, that which is perfect is come. You have the Bible. You have the complete Word of God. Now, you don't need prophets. But our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. You know what waiting on the ministry is? It's not sitting there with your arms folded and not doing nothing. It's serving. It's serving what God gave you to do. Good example, and I don't have time to go there, is Numbers 3:10. They serve. He that are on teaching, he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy. What in the world is that? Everybody ought to have that office. With cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, hypocrisy. So I'm reading these things, these is ministries, folks, and God gives you the grace to do the job that He called you to do. God will not ask you to do something that He doesn't give you the grace to do. So if God, the moral of the story is, if God gave you an office, and you, if you're saved in the body of Christ, then you have a job. It might be one of these gifts here. You might be an encourager. That might be your office. You encourage people. You might have more than one office. You might be a teacher. You might be a preacher. You might be an exhorter. You might be one that he that showeth mercy, and you're kind and you help people. You give them aid and you have mercy on people. You might have more than one office. But God gives you the grace to do it. And this grace, if you don't do it, then as Paul said, his grace wasn't bestowed upon him in vain, but he labored more abundantly. God's grace is sufficient to us. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times. And this thorn, probably my own personal thing, had to do with his eyes. He talked about his eyes, that the Galatians would have plucked out their own eyes and give it to him. Over and over he talked about, you see how large a letter I wrote unto him. He just more or less wrote the salutation somebody else had to write. But whatever that thorn was, it was, he said, a messenger of Satan was given to him to buffet him. And it humiliated him in the eyes of people. It belittled him. And three times Paul went to the Lord and asked the Lord to remove it. And finally the Lord said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you." You know what that is? That's a pattern of suffering for us that are in the body of Christ. You know, God didn't tell us that when He saved us, He was going to solve all your problems and pay all your bills, and you're going to drive a Cadillac and do all these things. But He did promise you that you'd suffer. And if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. But I want to tell you something. God's grace is sufficient for you. And the Bible said that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having always, having all things sufficient, that you may abound in every good work. And that's the grace of man. And He'll make the enemies even at peace with you and show you kindness if you trust in Him. Many of you are probably going through hard times and have battles and you get discouraged and Satan in your mind and you have a mental problem, battles going on. And I want to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. And we rest in the Lord. And we recognize that He's got everything in control. And so what are we to do? We're to rejoice. And He said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Why? Because of God will wrap His grace around you. Isn't He a wonderful Lord? Thank God for the grace of God. I've watched, I've seen loved ones lose loved ones. I've seen mothers lose children that saved, and I marvel. And I look at those in the grace of God. And I've seen people go through trials and battles, and I marvel at them, and I see the grace of God in their life. Why would anybody reject His grace? How could you reject Him now? How could you leave this service lost and on your way to hell when He suffered so much for you and has shown you kindness and gentleness to you and He's shown you grace right now, giving you the opportunity to trust in His Son to be saved? Will you do that while we pray? There's some of you right now, you're so close, all you need to do is just do it. Just receive Him. "I believe You died for me, and I'm trusting in You from this day forward as my Savior." You know how I know I'm saved? Because He said that if I'd call upon Him, and He said if I'd trust Him, He'd save me. Now, if He didn't keep His end of the bargain, then He lied. And if He lied, there ain't no hope for none of us. Will you do that now? While I pray, will you just simply put your trust in what He did for you on the cross, believing that He died for you, and have the attitude, "Lord, if that's not enough, then I'm going to hell. There's nothing I can do. I can't bring nothing. I can't give You nothing to satisfy Your wrath. Your Son took Your wrath. You poured Your wrath out on Him for me. And I'm believing that." Will you do that while I pray? Will you pray and ask Him, "Lord, right now to save you, I'm trusting in You." You say, "Well, what if I have to give up?" Don't. You'll have to give up nothing. People's got the idea that they got to quit all of this and God will receive them. God wouldn't receive you if you're doing it for Him to receive you. God wants you as you are. As we do have the song, Just As I Am. Father, Lord, I've done what You have asked me to do. Preach the Word. Lord, You said that the power of God and the salvation is in the gospel. And I believe that. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Lord, there's people here today that's never been saved. They're fooling their own self, thinking that their good works and church membership or their baptisms and all of these things that man does in the name of religion is going to save them. Lord, I pray that right now, in just simple childlike faith, the best that they know how to do, I pray that they'll just say, Lord, I trust in You. I'm believing that You died for me, and from this day forward, I'm trusting that Your Son died for my sins, and He's my Savior. Lord, I pray that they'll claim Him right now as their own personal Savior. Oh, God, deal with them right now. Help them to do it. Help them to confess You. Help them to settle it once and for all. Help them to believe for Christ's sake. Amen. If you did trust the Lord as your Savior, will you tell somebody about it? Because if you go out of here and you're lost and you die and they ask me to preach a funeral, I won't know what to say about you. But if you trust Christ, tell somebody, then I could stand and say, look, they trusted the Lord. If you don't want to confess Him because of what He did for you, confess Him for my sake. So I have something good to say about you.